What a song.
What a fucking...
Like, actually, maybe the best song of the year. I controversial. I think, yeah. Of our Venn diagram of music, it, like, it's not just in the middle. It's, like, a trophy
it's
in the middle.
It is
the song.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to another episode of Let Me Finish with myself, Thomas Zakio, where each time I'm joined by a very special guest to chat about a topic that we get so passionate about that there's no choice but to let us finish. The idea of this podcast is to document some of the interesting, inspiring, and funny conversations I've had with people I've met so that I can share them with you. I hope you have as much fun listening to this as I did recording it. Yes, I am here with one of my really good friends, self-proclaimed best friend, Maddie Crowther, who I've known for about 2 years now, and we continuously have a lot of very interesting conversations around pretty much everything, to be fair, but we do bond quite well on our shared passion for music as well, varying from similar music, artists, types of music, as well as even kind of down to lyrics, our passion for attending gigs and our shared excitement for new Music Friday playlists on Spotify.
Yeah.
So we thought that we would do the world a favor and share this conversation with everyone else because we also love the sound of our own voice and we just think that we are giving back to the community in this way.
For sure.
So, Maddie, I think, firstly, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So nice to be back on a podcast with you.
You say back even though, because now everyone's been like, oh, where's that last episode? It's like that unreleased with the, down in the drafts.
Yeah. Secret info. We have recorded podcasts together in the past.
This is very true. Yeah. We did have a plan to start a separate podcast. And it's just been put on hold at the moment, I reckon. And you're also moving to Hong Kong, so we're going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah.
So.
See how good the Wi-Fi is over there.
Yeah.
To record it at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
That sounds like a you problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, what we're going to do today is just talk a bit about our interest in music. And for anyone who has Spotify, you are definitely aware that recently you got your Spotify Wrapped, which for those of you who aren't aware is just almost like a report card of your 2019 listening habits, or as I like to call it, your dopamine track record. So, and essentially how it works is that they tell you how, obviously they collect the data of you, of the music that you've listened to, the artists you've listened to, how long you spend listening to music and all of that. So we're going to go through, we've actually held our top artists and or we've held our scores from each other for the last week so that we could reveal it today on the podcast. So it's gonna be quite interesting to find out a bit more about that.
Yeah, it's been quite hard avoiding each other for the last 2 weeks. Every time Tom walks past my desk, I'll frantically close Spotify. I'm like, you didn't see anything. Also a disclaimer that by we like music, obviously lots of people like music, but just because you listen to Lizzo for 9 hours this year doesn't mean you really like music. If you have a shared family Spotify account and you share your data with your family as well, it doesn't count. 100 hours or nothing on your favorite artist. We live and breathe this. Also, anyone who doesn't have a premium Spotify account or an equivalent is dead to us. And you can turn off now. Shall we start?
Now that we've made this a very welcoming, calming environment for an easy listening. So I think before we actually go into the our top artists and top albums as well, we've got a couple of other criteria that we're going to cover in Maddie and Thomas's 2019 Music Awards. Completely subjective and has changed in the last 20 minutes as well.
Oh, yeah.
So Maddie, I think I'll just start with you and just tell us a bit more about what could you describe your kind of relationship with music?
The primary word I probably associate with my relationship is unhealthy. I use it completely as a coping mechanism to suppress emotion and evoke unhealthy levels of emotion about the past. It's basically just a nostalgia tool so that I live in the last 24 years of my life rather than the present. No.
That's not even a joke.
I've always been really obsessed with music and it's always had such a big impact on memory for me. Obviously, everyone has memories evoked by music and will listen to a song and be like, oh, that reminds me of that time in year nine. But I do that with every song, with every period. And there are a handful of people, Tom included, who have the same extremely strong association with memory. And it's a really fun but unhealthy way of living because it means I can remember what I felt 7 years ago about something and kind of time travel with it almost. But I've also always appreciated quite a wide variety of music, and I love that I can get so obsessed with an album or with an artist, and it makes me so happy, and seeing them live makes me happy, and I can visit different parts of my life through that lens and through that kind of portal. So that's why music is so important to me. How about you, Tom?
Wow, there's a lot to unpack there, or unwrap. To a very similar to an extent, although I do find it, I get a lot of joy from music. I think there's a conversation of do you kind of listen to music to influence your feelings, or do you listen to music to match your feelings? And I think sometimes it's a bit of both, and I do get a very strong emotional connection to different songs and different artists. So I'll kind of list, I'll order my playlist based on kind of what I'm feeling, or just like lump all these different songs together. And very much like you said, it's really to evoke a kind of emotion, and it may not necessarily be kind of going backwards, but it can also be quite excitement about things to come in the future. So if I'm looking a little, playing like quite an upbeat playlist, or kind of like a motivational playlist, it will impact kind of how I'm feeling day to day. I do kind of spend, like, before I leave the house, or I leave everywhere, I need to make sure I've got my earphones. I need to make sure what kind of music I'm going to play, what playlist I'm going to have ready to go. It's not.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I have.
I have left the house on more than one occasion on the phone, and I don't know how, but somehow forgotten to bring my headphones, which is maybe the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to me, and purchased new headphones at my destination. Because the thought of sitting on the tube for more than... Actually, the thought of being anywhere without music on my own is so terrifying that I will spend £15 on shit headphones. You're just
left alone in your own thoughts, and that's just a dangerous place to be.
It's just so deeply boring. Well, why would I ever waste any time when I could be listening to music or listening to the same song on repeat for 4 hours? I just...
I think
that's why unhealthy is the word I used to describe this relationship.
But I think it's quite interesting because I do get... I think the half joke I made earlier about like the dopamine kick that you get from it... And if, for example, the summer song, like, oh, this song was from 2018 summer, and then we had such a good time, it was from this, I heard it at this festival, or you definitely associate all these different songs with your, the times that you've had, or when you listen to them, or you first listen to them. And it may not necessarily even be when you first listen to it. It may be a situation where you knew the song, but then you heard it in a different context, and then you gave it new meaning.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, for example, for me, honestly, at first, I really didn't like American Boy by Estelle and Kanye West. And then I heard it in a new context, and now it's just what is a song I listen to at least once a week.
That's so good.
So I think it's quite interesting. And also, I mean, for me, I think... The message that a lot of artists can convey in music is really important, and I think that it's a really good way that a lot of people can relate to it as well. I think I did write a blog post about how essentially the importance of being able to convey something that's quite complicated into four lines, or into if an artist finds a way to explain a really complicated emotion that a lot of people can have or don't really know how to describe, and then they put it into a song, and then you hear that song and you think, yeah, that I can relate to that a lot. I think that's a really important element of music as well.
I completely agree. I was gonna say
that there are lots of artists that for me, in terms of like the quality of the music, it may be a really simple song, but then there may just be one line in there that really hits home, and then it that creates a lot of meaning for you.
I completely agree. This is why one artist for me, John Mayer, spoiler, has really played that role for me in my life over the last couple of years, and has articulated feelings and thoughts about life and love and relationships and growing older that I haven't really found in other artists. But equally, I think it depends what's going on in your life and what's happening. Like, my favorite album maybe ever, Channel Orange, by Frank Ocean from 2012, reflected so much that was going on in my life, even though maybe lyrically it actually had nothing to do with me. But you find the individual words and phrases that really echo your own experiences and find so much kind of solace and support in them.
Mm-hmm. Do you reckon it's almost an element of what's the word I'm looking for? Not kind of confirmation bias. So like a song comes out and like we could listen to the same song and we'll have a completely different experience of the same song. And we'll hear different lyrics, but then we'll, okay, maybe confirmation bias is not the right word, but it's really just, we can listen to the same song, have completely different reactions to it, and different lyrics will stand out more to us because we can relate a lot more to the different messages. It really comes down to everyone's individual experience.
Absolutely, for sure. And I found that with myself at different times, that I've listened to lyrics and they've resonated with me so strongly, how they've articulated a feeling I was having. And then I listened to it a year later and realized that the lyric was actually literal rather than like this existential metaphorical like throwaway comment John Mayer was making, and just really changed how I thought about the song. But at the time it just meant everything. I was like, how does he understand the exact place I'm in?
Yeah.
And then I realized that he was actually just talking about buying new shampoo. True story. That is actually the lyric.
But
yeah, still feel like a man.
Okay, no, let's walk through this. Sorry. We're not just going to like... Because the thing is, you think that people are listening to this and going, oh yeah, no, I know exactly what... No, we're not following. So what's the lyric? What did you think it meant? And what does it actually mean?
It says, he says something in his 2017 song, Still Feel Like Your Man, great song, all should listen, where he says something like, I still keep your shampoo in the shower in case you want to wash your hair. And then the next lyric is, I know that you'll probably find yourself some more somewhere. But I don't really care as long as it is there, and then it's I still feel like a man. But I was traveling at the time and like going through a breakup, and I just took it to mean like he was like, you're discovering yourself and like you're finding yourself somewhere and like I'm still keeping your shampoo, but like you're off like finding out who you are. And then I listened to it like a year later, like not in that headspace at all. And then I was like, no, it literally means he's saying I'm keeping on holding on to your shampoo, which is like emotional for me, but I'm sure you'll actually buy some more for yourself somewhere else.
It just rhymes.
And then I was like, yeah, I'm crazy. my ability to like find resonance and like importance in lyrics that even John Mayer did not put there on purpose is astounding. And again, unhealthy.
Right, so as we mentioned earlier, welcome to the second section. We are now going to focus on our Spotify Wrapped for 2019. We have not told each other what our top artists are, how many minutes we've spent listening to Spotify this year, as well as who our artist of the decade was. And then the last bit, what we're going to do is we're just going to share what our top songs of 2019 were. Yeah, because we talk about music at least three times per conversation, this has been a struggle for us over the last two weeks to not talk about it. So I'm very excited to have this conversation now.
Saying that, I'm probably going to get all of yours wrong and everyone will be witnessing the end of our friendship.
And then it's so, like, you don't even know me.
You've been tuning out everything I've said for the last 2 years.
It's okay. I've made my notes, as you can hear.
Listeners, Tom is reading from a notebook at the moment called My Memes and Me, and it has the frog whose name I don't Kefri. Know.
It's my podcast book. And I'll take a picture of it and then put
this is the most Tom image I could ever imagine. Yeah,
yeah, Eleanor got me. It was very sweet.
She just gets me.
Cool. So, Maddie, okay, this is how we're gonna do it. We'll go like one section each.
Okay.
I'm gonna try guess who your top five artists were.
Okay.
In no particular order.
It's gonna be difficult.
You only speak about them at least once a week. Okay, in no particular order, John Mayer.
Yep.
Honestly, that was like shocker of the year.
But how many hours did I spend listening to him?
How many hours?
I think you've already heard me say
You have said this. I think it was something insane, like 120 or something, wasn't it?
119.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Camille worked out that's 20 minutes a day, which I don't think is very much, if I'm honest. That's only, what, like 6 minutes.
But of the same artist, though. Of the same...
Like, he's a gift to humanity, Tom.
Okay.
I love him more than anyone.
Anything, yeah. It's like...
Okay, moving on.
20 minutes, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That is,
also,
no,
it's
sorry.
More than 20 minutes a day because I think he worked it out for 12 months, but Spotify Wrapped, also to anyone listening who thinks their results are skewed, ends at the end of October. So add on whatever, a sixth of 20.
Yeah.
I'm not going to work that out, but 2.5 minutes. It's a lot.
There's a lot of John Mayer, and you should probably... Yeah. I mean, you are funding his life right now. Single-handedly. All the revenue that he's getting from the Spotify streams. Or music videos.
Yeah.
So.
You're welcome, John.
John Oak. Cool. Second, I'm going to say Lizzo.
No.
Really? Lizzo didn't make
it? Didn't make the top five.
Shock. I'm genuinely surprised. The thing is, like, that was, again, this was in no particular order, but I did think the amount of, that we both spoke about Lizzo this year.
Yeah.
That she would have made it. And.
Yeah. But she didn't. Because she doesn't fall under my monomaniacalism. Like,
could you dumb that down?
I love Lizzo, but I listen to her to get hyped. I don't listen to her to cry myself to sleep. And that's where the others get
wrapped
up. We clearly
have different approaches to this.
I don't cry myself to sleep ever. I'm actually very emotionally stable, but...
Says is exactly what a very emotionally stable person would say. I think...
Yeah, no, she doesn't evoke emotion for me.
Oh, for me, it was completely... Like, I do it, but it was more of a pick-me-up. Like, on days where I was low, I was like, I need to stop listening to... this Adele song over again. I really need to get out. So, yeah, okay, because that's interesting, because I use it, like, if I was feeling low, as a pick-me-up rather than let me, like, drill down. Because I do have artists for that.
That's why, if you like John Mayer, who's been around for 20 years, he has pick-me-up songs, he has cry yourself to sleep songs, he has think about the last 10 years, he has everything.
Everything. Have you categorized them?
He kind of has by album.
Oh, that's really convenient.
Now,
yeah.
But,
okay. Yeah. Well, moving on. Frank Ocean.
Nope.
What?
He hasn't released any new music.
But
good
still,
this year.
My top artist hasn't released an album this year.
To be fair, neither has John Mayer.
So exactly. So what would that argument just goes?
Frank Ocean, while still being probably my number one artist ever, except John Mayer, close rival. Yeah. No, it hasn't been a very Ocean-y year. I'm not gonna lie. Also. Mm. Maybe controversial opinion, but I think DHL and In My Room were not good releases, and I haven't listened to that much Frank Ocean this year.
Interesting.
Anyway,
that's right. So those are my top three that I was like,
well,
yeah, surely.
Good to know we're not really friends.
You're not gonna get mine.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not.
Thing is, I don't know why this one is here. I think it's probably because you went to a gig and that's why it's springing to mind, but it's Vampire Weekend.
No, but only because I only listened to a lot of Vampire Weekend towards the end of the year. Definitely didn't just listen to it loads the day before I went to a concert. Lol.
No, you have to rehearse the words before a concert.
Yeah,
this
for sure.
Is the thing.
Having gone to famously 5 concerts in 6 weeks.
Ooh,
this autumn, I have learned that, and I know that's true. It's shit being at a concert and not knowing
no,
the songs.
No, no, yeah.
But it's also annoying putting in the work listening to something you don't like that much before.
Yeah. Especially if
it's a hard
like,
life.
It was a really difficult rap bit and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to let everyone
else
do it.
The Vampire Weekend luckily don't really have that. So singing generic music, generic lyrics about...
The kids don't stand a chance.
I mean, a lot of their lyrics are actually quite nonsensical, except famously this album, which is a lot about how depressing the human race are. Climate change and Judaism. Interesting album.
What?
I recommend. Father
sounds
of
like
the
a
right
manifesto.
Guys. Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. Do you want to hear my actual? So number one was John Mayer.
Yeah, sure.
Number two, Taylor Swift.
Shut up. Are you serious?
She released Lover this year. Taylor Swift is. I'm a long time.
I would not have
guessed
that.
Fan. Really? It's because you didn't know me during the Taylor years. They big crying and crying myself sleep songs. Honestly, number one, better than John Mayer for that. Third was Lana Del Rey, who famously I saw last year in Sigint.
She also because she released
an album
this
year. Fucking Rockwell, which no spoilers, great album though. Chance the Rapper, I'm surprised that was fourth. Actually, my number five is actually very surprising. I don't know how he got number five in this, but Tyler, the Creator. And I think it's because I fell down an Igor hole for 2 weeks.
Right.
And I just lived in Igor.
I should have guessed Chance the Rapper.
Obsessed. Yeah. And then I just got over it.
Yeah, you got your kick and you're like,
I'm good.
I was doing that earlier. I was scrolling through the my songs from 2019 that I saved. And there was like, I think there was a random bit in like April or something where there was like one album that I just listened a lot to. And I was like, I just haven't gone back to that album for the rest of the year. I completely forgot it exists. I think it was, maybe it was earlier than that. This band called, it's not really a band. It's like these two guys called Surfaces. And
I remember your Surfaces obsession. Yeah. With the geometric shapes on.
Yeah, on their images, like their album covers. So I'd listened to that like incessantly for ages. And then just nothing for the rest of the year. And I was like, where did it go? But I think also at the beginning of the year, I was going through some shit. So I think I associated with that.
Sick.
So I associated with that. Now I've moved away. It's like, I'm not going back because I know what emotion it evokes. Okay, that's quite interesting. Okay,
I'm going to guess yours now. And I think I'm going to get them all wrong.
wait.
John Bellion.
Yes.
Mike Posner?
So surprisingly, he wasn't. But even though he released two albums this year, and he also walked across America.
Big fan. Famously, he walked across America.
He walked across America this year. So for those of you that don't know, I don't, like, how else am I going to say that? He walked across America. So so he walked from like the Northeast coast all the way down to California, and it took him a couple of months. And he updated it quite a lot on Instagram. You can go back and follow it. But it was really interesting. A really interesting story, and the motivation that he had for it was more to kind of find out a bit more about himself. I think his father died last year, so it was more of a kind of a searching for yourself project, and it was really inspiring. I definitely encourage you to check it out.
But to be fair, he sounds cooler than me.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
I'm so funny.
Also, I mean, it's not difficult to be cooler than you. The bar is pretty low. To be honest, I did listen to him a lot at the beginning of the year. He didn't really release any music when he was walking. That's not true. That's actually not true. He did actually release quite a bit of music.
I'm just picturing like Forrest Gump.
He kind of, like, if you looked at his, like, how his facial hair grew, it kind of did look a bit like that. But he actually, that's not true. He did release quite a bit of music while he was doing this walk. Which is like, how did you do that? But it was quite interesting. And then as soon as he finished, he released a new album. Which is really good as well. But I think it was more, it wasn't as concentrated. It wasn't as spread out throughout the year. It was more heavily concentrated at the beginning and then at the end.
My other guess for you was Kid Quill.
You know what? That would have been a good one, good guess. I think he was in my last year.
Okay.
But, he did release an album this year, which, has a couple of good songs. I think I found this with a couple of artists, to be fair, that I really, really enjoy their early stuff when they're still kind of college rap, playing around with lots of different samples and figuring themselves out. Mm. And then they become established and then I'm just like, and I'm done.
Yeah. So the underdog will die.
Yeah. So he didn't make it, but he did release an album this year and would have, he's like, if we probably had a top 10, like these other guys probably would have been in there.
You do realize you made this extremely difficult for me because all of your answers are, they are one of my favorite artists and they did release multiple albums this year. It's also weird for me too. They're not in my top 10. I meant to guess that. My final guess was an international artist I would not have guessed or known.
Possibly.
There you
go. So, okay, cool. So you got one.
Great.
John Bellion was number one.
The Johns.
Yeah, Jono's really carrying the team here.
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't get anywhere as close as 120.
119
hours. I think I only got 20 hours.
Unhealthy.
I just have different sources of. I distribute my unhappiness.
That's where you're going wrong.
You need to concentrate it. Because the thing is, what if like something happens to that and then all your eggs are in one basket?
Yeah, but John Mayer probably was scrolling through his like Spotify artist wrapped and he was like, oh, all my top supporters and listeners, 50 hours, 70 hours, ooh, that sounds a bit unhealthy. What is wrong with this person? 119! I must find them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for. Last year I listened to 117 hours of John Mayer. That's something I'm going to leave in 2019. In the 2010s.
In the 2010s. Anyway, this sounds fine. Cool. So number two this year was Lizzo.
I'm surprised I didn't get that either. That was quite stupid. Famously, yeah. Tom and I have seen Lizzo once together, but nearly twice together this year.
We didn't get to... What festival was it? Lovebox.
Lovebox.
Yeah.
But we did see Chance.
Chance,
a guy,
acid
who
rapper,
also not
soccer,
twice.
Hacky sacker. Yeah, me too. Cool. Third was Quinn 92.
I was gonna.
Yeah, so Quinn 92 released an album at the beginning of the year, heavily focused on. That's how they get you. What?
If they release at the beginning of the year, obviously they're gonna be at the top. If they release in October, they're fucked.
Well, Stormzy just released his album last week, so.
Yeah, but he's not gonna be in your 2019 rap. Or maybe
2020. Maybe he's getting like even earlier so that he's established by 2020.
Ooh, that's so true.
Yeah. No, I don't know what they get from being... Yeah, it's just like a report card. Or in my case, it's just I'm going to print it off and send it to my therapist and be like, hey, as you can see, by the massive spike of Quinn 92 and Mike Posner, I was having a really bad week.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Quinn 92, he released an album earlier, back in February, and was heavily focused on mental health. And I think a lot of it just resonated with me at the time, which is why I kind of just injected it into my veins. And he actually, I went to go see him in February, and it was the night before he released his album. It was the end of his Europe tour. So it was good fun. It's the second time I've gone to see him in London. So third was, have you heard of Russ?
No. So does it have an umlaut?
No.
Over the U?
No. What? Who the fuck is that?
No,
fourth was Russ, and he's an American artist, singer, rapper, and so basically what he's done, he releases a lot of singles, spread out over time, obviously, rather than just like focusing on a lot of albums. So I think just kind of he's come out and said that this is my plan, this is how I choose to release music. I'll like release a song. I think he did a thing, it was like releasing a song every week for previously, which, and they're quite short songs as well, so it's more like I know how the system works, so I'm kind of plugging that. But also he does have really good, he plays around with samples quite a lot. He's got a catchy voice, and he's a good rapper as well, so I definitely recommend you checking him out. And fifth, so this was really surprising for me, was...
Your Tyler.
What?
Your version of Tyler, the Creator.
Who?
As in, my fifth was also surprising.
Oh, I see. All right, yeah, gotcha. So it's a singer called Coley Buds.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, wait! No. As in Blind to You.
Yeah.
No way!
That's the one.
And also, Come Around?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
That's so weird.
So, because he released, spoilers here, but one of my favorite albums of the year, which I listen to a lot. And fun fact, this is actually not going to give anything away, but my top song of 2019 was Blind to You.
What? I actually remember, because I remember everything, that standing in Elowen's kitchen on his birthday, on Friday the... I think 22nd February, I assume, this year, being quite drunk, and then this song coming on, and also my drunk state obviously cutting off whoever's talking to me, turning around to the room and being like, who's playing this? And then you being like, me, obviously, and I was like, this makes sense. I love Come Around and Blind to You.
Yeah.
Blind to You is a fantastic song. It's underappreciated.
It is. Well, clearly not by me, because I feel more than any other song.
Maybe you're making up for it. That's so weird. Surely it's quite old.
I know it is.
In 2016.
It was in my Taste Breakers of 2018.
I really did not see that coming.
You are like, I didn't see it coming.
It's just funny that I know it quite well.
Yeah. The thing is, so I put that on my Spotify, and he actually put it on his story as well. I put it on my Instagram story and he shared that. I was
really?
Like, oh, hey man.
Oh my god, I can't believe I missed all of this happening.
Yeah.
The things we do for this random podcast.
Exactly.
That's okay. Huge.
That all 60
people.
But
also, I would have appreciated that more than pretty much. That's so sad.
So, So that was, I do think I may have also fallen asleep listening to that song on repeat, which probably racked up the numbers.
A weird song to leave on repeat.
I don't know. I think it was like, what? It's a good song. Yeah. No, I listened to it a lot at the beginning of the year. Fair. And like every time I did bring it up quite often again, if I listen to kind of like reggae or that kind of stuff, yeah. Or if I listen to his album, I'd go and like cue that one up anyway because I liked it.
So
anyway, that was the top artist of the year. Cool. So after that bombshell of the top song of the year, we're going to continue in that vein, and now we're actually going to talk about our top songs of the year. What we're going to do is take the top three from our Spotify Wrapped.
Yep.
And then we are going to throw in two special mention songs. So we'll have five each, and then we'll play a couple of snippets of them as well, so you guys can get a little something from this podcast, as well as all the other great artists that we're listing. So you're welcome. Should we do one each?
Yeah, so I don't know if you ever will have guessed this either. Actually, maybe. But, so my top song of the year, I'm going to play it and see if you know it. So it's from Khalid?
Oh, yeah, Khalid.
Khalid's album that came out this year, Free Spirit, which I think was extremely average. But this song on it, Out of My Head, came up on my release radar in like March. And obviously, I wasn't that surprised with my top song, to be honest. But it's such a good song.
Mm-hmm.
And John Mayer features guitar and it's just fantastic. And that was my top song for 2019. But I think had it come out in like September, it wouldn't have been. But it was that I consistently listened to it and I never get bored of it. But great song.
I think it's quite interesting how... Yeah, so it's more of a, did I listen to it heavily or did I distribute the listening of it?
Yeah, so, it's not very emotionally evocative, but it's just... It's good. I recommend Out of My Head, featuring John Mayer by Kelly.
There we go. As I mentioned in the previous bit, my top song of 2019 was Blind to You by Coley Buds. And... Yeah, I think it's actually in my like good vibes kind of playlist, and it's also in like my gym playlist as well, because it's just more about ignoring kind of like people who doubt you or anything like that, which in most cases is just like myself anyway, but it's more of hyping yourself up and then just going focusing on the main bit, like on the positives. So here it goes. I'm blind to you. Can't touch me, war instigators. Me say we busy love lately. Ask you how the world are run so. Said I'm blind to you. So that was number one. Continue.
So my number two is quite a funny one. It is. Put your body on might. Keep it up all night. Don't let me down, down. Mad Love by Mabel. What? And it's Mad Love by Mabel not because I love Mabel or Mad Love. It's because I think it's a good song and it's played in my gym classes a lot, but I think the reason that it racked up so many listens is because when I was on holiday with uni friends, there was a condiment in the shop that I was in with them called Mad Chips, and my friend Camille just under his breath started singing Mad Love but replacing the word love with chips, which I heard and was like, I'm not letting this go. So we listened to Mad Love pretty much all day every day for 7 days, screeching the word chips over love, and that was just a lot of the other lyrics, but it obviously had an effect on my Spotify rap. But I can't really listen
to it. It's quite funny that like you have the holiday song, because sometimes you go out, you have like a specific song like that.
This was it, for sure. And also Chance the Rapper's album.
Oh, that's good. That week, yeah. Because, I had that for when I went to Spain in May. And the song was Galma, which wasn't my top 10 songs, but not my top 5. But yeah, no, you just like attach that. And it's similar to what we were saying earlier in terms of there's a moment in life, a historical moment where you attach to a song. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean every song.
Anyway.
And your third song?
My second song.
Your second song? No, wait, I
swear. Galma was just the holiday one. Go. That was just a side note. I'm trying to plug as much as I can here, really. So yeah, my second song, my second top song of the year was called Influenza. By,
God, this would have been so hard.
You never would have got this. Like, honestly, I mean, so it's by a manga, Saint Hilaire, who was a part of Roald Deep.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I googled that this morning. but honestly, it's a really fun song. There's good wordplay in it, and he's talking about being an influencer, but with his flow. So his flow is influential. And here's a snippet of it.
My guys have got the loud. You can smell it on them when you enter. Wow. So there's a lot of high guys, like a YouTube presenter. I'm already in next year. That's just a little heads up. Credit when you copy me. I am your influencer. Set trend, but I never follow fashion.
Sorry, Tom.
There we go. So it's definitely very much that line of, my guys have got the loud. You can smell it on them when you enter. So there's a lot of high guys, like a YouTube presenter. And that has probably been my lyric of the year.
Yeah,
because it's just like stuck in my head. There's another song that's got my lyric of the year as well, but I'm a big fan of that song, which I've played back to back many times.
My third song didn't come out this year. It's called In Your Atmosphere, and unsurprisingly, it is by John Mayer. I found it the day that I saw John Mayer in October, randomly. It is a testament to how much I listened to the song for the 4 days after, which was back to back. Maybe 11 hours a day.
Sorry, wait. So you listened to the song in October and it made your top of the year?
Yeah. Because
even though
they cut
off the songs
in
October.
So I saw John Mayer that evening and then I just...
What,
in his
living room
were
you just peering through the window?
I saw him live at the O2. shut up. So I saw him... Yeah, no, wait. So I saw John Mayer on October 13th and Spotify Wrapped cut off on October 31st, which means that I listened to the song enough to override, I can tell you other songs that I have listened to unhealthy amounts that are below it on this list, but here is a snippet. I'm gonna steer clear, oh yeah, I burn up in your atmosphere. I'm gonna steer clear, cause I'd die if I saw you. It doesn't really hold that much emotional resonance for me,
mm-hmm.
other than that I'm able to associate anything with my life and find some experience that... just dig really deep and then I can be sad about it.
We must go deeper.
So this song is about me. No, I listened to this song for some reason, literally without stopping for 4 or 5 days, to the point I was a bit worried about myself,
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't stop listening. And it got to a point where sound that didn't include any of the notes from this sounded weird to me, and it made having conversations uncomfortable because I'd have to leave them and go listen to it. And then I woke up on like the Saturday after the gig, like 6 days later, which is how this got to number 3, and was like, okay, I'm free now. I'm done.
Yeah, I've got it's out of the system. That's almost like an addiction, though. That's weird.
Yeah,
that's just you need the fix.
Yeah, it was so weird. Uh-huh. But yeah, no, what a guy. And he also played that song, Lie, which was great. How about you, number 3?
So number three. So this was, again, according to the Spotify Wrapped. And also, I've noticed that a lot of these songs are quite short as well. So probably like listen to them a couple of times and they just racked up numbers. So this song is by a Brazilian band called Gilsons. And the song is called Varish Geishish, which...
I feel like I know it.
I definitely have played this either in the office.
Did it come out this year? I'm sure I've heard it in Portugal, the 2 times I was in Portugal this year. But I'm sure I heard it in like Lisbon and was like, this is such a Tom song. Play
potentially,
it.
Like it is a... I found it on like one of my friends' like playlists. Like, you know, on the side where it comes up, like you listen. So
when you stalk your friends.
Yeah, exactly. So... yeah, so here's, and it's just like a really relaxed song. Here's a snippet.
I do not know that song.
You don't. It's a very like relaxing song, which I can't put the lyrics up, but then if you don't speak Portuguese it's not really gonna make much sense. But
I definitely thought I knew that song because all Portuguese sounds the same to me and I know a Portuguese song and I thought it was that.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
Like que será, será.
Is that Portuguese?
Que será, será is Portuguese. That line
sounds very Spanish.
I mean, it might also work in Spanish.
I think it is Spanish.
But
I mean, famously, I actually can't speak Spanish, even though I think I can, but I'm fed.
You think you can
Spanish.
Do a lot of things and you can't, so.
I know I cannot speak Spanish. I will admit that.
Wow. Okay, cool. So, there's my kind of my reach. I've got an English artist, I've got a Brazilian artist, and like, where's Curly Buzz from? Is he Jamaican?
Maybe.
So now, who are your... Do you want to do two or three special mentions?
I'll do two. Yeah. So I actually made this list because Tom and I had a conversation about 6 or 8 weeks ago that we wanted to, podcast aside, sit down and play for our best songs of the year. We must share them with each other.
Yeah.
And also then exclude everyone else from the conversation. So Out of My Head was actually the top one I originally wrote down, which was my top song, but that doesn't get a special mention. So my two that get the special mention are...
Diamonds are forever like family and loyalty, or real rap songs like Cream or my melody. Diamonds are forever like my infinite thought, like respect in the hood that can't be bought.
Rogley, Family and Loyalty by, I can't remember, Gangsta and featuring J. Cole. I really, really like this. The first time I heard it, I was obsessed with it. And I also, this is such a me thing, I listened to it as I landed in Guatemala, where I went traveling for 2 weeks this year on my own. And as soon as I landed, I played it. And I like was staring out the window, just like, I've come so far. Like, literally and metaphorically, I'm here, like staring out the window, listening to the song. So you can imagine, I'm in this plane, I'm landing, this music is playing over the background. And then every time I got to the end of this 3 minute song, no, 4 minute and 35 second song, I'd be kind of grounded again, literally, because I was on a plane, but grounded again, and everything would feel like boring and unmagical, and then I just would restart it, and that just went on for 3 hours, which is how it probably racked up so many listens as well. But I love it. I think it's such a good song. I love J. Cole.
Can you share it with me? I don't think I've actually heard it.
What? I will. And the other special mention, which I really hope is in your special mentions as well.
The thing is, like, it's actually not because I know that you're playing
what?
It. So No, it would be, but I knew that you were going
to
play it.
It has to be the same one. This is our song.
Okay, this is our... Okay, let's... Should we put, like, special mention?
This is our song. This is our song. This is Seesaw, or as Tom called it until a month ago, C-Y-S-A-W, by Knox Brown and Wretch 32. Can you see it all the way? Can you see it? I can't seem to find it all. And baby, you didn't even stay. And the sun is shining, I'm just trying to live. Can you see another way? Can you see it? Can you see it? I close my eyes if I could. I wouldn't go another day without the sun shining. Oh, you should know.
It's just fucking
what
great
a,
song.
What a song.
What a fucking...
Like, actually maybe the best song of the year.
Controversial. Think, yeah.
I think, yeah. Of our Venn diagram of music, it, like... It's not just in the middle, it's like a trophy.
It's
in the middle.
It is
the song.
Yeah. Everything comes off that.
And we can just end things there.
Yeah.
And that was the best song of the game.
Basically, the whole concept of this podcast was we wanted to play this song and had to figure out a way to do it.
We just needed a platform. We really needed to build it up.
Exactly.
And now we're there.
Because if I just shared it on, like, on my Facebook, it's like, oh, this is a great song, check it. No one would know. But like, here we are. So,
yeah.
Knox Brown and
Wretch. Anyone who doesn't know this, your life would be greatly improved.
Exactly. You can define your life by before you knew the song existed and after you knew the song existed.
It's just so great.
It's such a great song. It's, oh.
Yeah.
Just... gives me chills.
Anyway, those are my shout-outs from the year.
Those are
your
shout-outs. Cool. So because I knew you were going to do that shout-out as our song, I actually chose two others. So this is definitely in my top. You know, like, it's actually quite funny that, like, although other than Coley Buds, none of my top artists have, like, were in this top song of the year. Like, my top song of the year. But I do think it's because, like I was saying earlier, it's more a distribution of how often I played one song in that whole album, or how often I played the whole album. So this song is from it's by Damian Marley, and it's called Here We Go, and it's just such a hype song. I just fucking love it. It's like an entrance song that I
think I know.
Like,
does it start with Here We Go?
Yeah. Here we go, my big ego is gonna get me in trouble trying to play hero. My jeans can't tie like Michael Felstido. When
no play follow fashion when we lead out. Now looky here, my big idea is gonna.
So
yeah, I do know it.
It's just like there's one. My second favorite line of the year is in the song as well, where it's very simple and like without context, it doesn't really mean anything. But then he just goes, "I'm feeling like a Wednesday surrounded by the week."
I've been winning on the streak. I've been feeling like a Wednesday surrounded by the week.
It was one of those I'd laughed out loud in the office when I was listening to that song. And yeah, definitely played it. I've definitely played it on the speakers as well. For context, I'm the director of Spotify playlist at the office.
So, I'm co-director. I feel like we're on different sides of the same like wing. Yeah. And like, yeah, we control the different.
Exactly. Sides. It's a self-proclaimed title and I run it a bit like a dictatorship. Yeah. Anyway, and then one more is my last special mention is a song called Fetch Your Life by Prince KB and featuring Misaki, which is a South African DJ. Which I know, like, I think to be honest, I didn't really get into South African house until after I left South Africa, and I do really enjoy it. It's also really good to have in the office because they're quite long, the beats are quite the BPMs are quite consistent, and it's easy to kind of zone in and out of it. So here's a snippet of it. Bet your life, go and be alive. Ain't nobody living out here. Someone who's living out here. Bet your life, go and be alive. Ain't nobody living out here. Someone who's living out here. So
I like it.
It is a very nice song, especially if you have good headphones in and when the bass kicks in, you're like, ooh. Yeah, so that's my special mention for in terms of songs I half want to plug and half want to share with you guys. But there are other songs by other ones in there. We're Staring at the Fire by Mike Posner, Oh Devil by Electric Guest.
Oh yeah, another fantastic song from there.
Yeah, pretty much John Bellion's entire album, although that did come out last year. And yeah. Cool. So that was the end of our section on what was it? Our top songs. So we were plugging our top songs in 2019.
Yep.
And which realistically is only scratching the surface. We in the other bits that we've cut out or not chosen not to talk about is just so much more that we can delve into with regards to music, and potentially could actually just go and do a whole spin-off episode. Or like podcasts just focusing on this.
Yep.
But anyway, it'd be like that sometimes. So it really
sometimes
do.
Sometimes it'd be like
that. It really do. But I don't know, I think this is, we have been talking about this for a couple of weeks and there's so much, I think it's a really interesting topic because it does tell a lot about a person. I do feel that like first date material is kind of what's your Spotify Wrapped. That sit down and let's talk about that, because I think that says a lot about other people. And but then of course some people don't listen to music as often, or some people use different platforms. My friend was telling me about someone he knows that only racked up 6,000 minutes in the year, and I was like, are you okay? Is
if you're under, to be honest, if you're under 40,000, then you don't really deserve to have a Spotify.
No, you really don't. It should be taken away from you.
Yeah, I don't really know what you're doing. Like, maybe more productive things than us.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, we're sat here, like, we're crying ourselves to sleep and they're, like, actually doing shit. They're reading.
Yeah, but I managed to fit in reading and socialising and listening to music an unhealthy amount. Yeah. It's not hard, guys.
Exactly. So, actually, last one. I mean, we probably already covered this, but Artists of the Decade.
I'm gonna go that yours was John Bellion.
Yes.
And
you're gonna go with John Mayer.
Yep, the Johns win again.
The Johns win again. I don't know, I think, yeah, I don't think I've spoken about John Bellion enough, and I really just, I went to go see him today, not today, lol. every it's single like day.
Morning, yeah. Sunday.
we've got lunch. So we're gonna have to wrap this up quick. No. He came to London back in October, and I went, this is the only artist I have paid VIP like the meet and greet for before. So I did that the last time he was here in 2017, and then I did it again this year, but it wasn't a meet and greet. Essentially, at first we were going to do a sound check. Oh, we're going to be able to watch and do the sound check, which was obviously quite, it's quite a bit more intimate. But then we all queued up and got in, and then they said, actually, because there's not as many of you as the people, the numbers that we get in the States, that we're going to do a, we're going to do a Q&A. So he came out and just obviously took questions from the couple of us that were in the crowd. And I think his music is just really authentic. And he's, if you watch his... how it's made, or like the behind the scenes, you see how passionate he is about the music, and how his you see how his brain works. We don't understand how his brain works, but he's just 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of everyone, and he's just, if it's quite inspirational, because you kind of wish that if you were in a situation where you were that passionate about something, you enjoyed something that much, and you could actually do that and make that much of a difference to a lot of people's lives, because of kind of the messages that he says in his music are very, very positive, very uplifting. And just, I think that's something definitely you have to give him credit for that, as well as just the way that, like, the music that he makes. When people ask me what kind of genre is it, I'm like, I don't know how to define it. Although there's, I did hear one called Melting Pop, which is like a melting pot, obviously, but like of pop music. But then that means it uses elements of pop, it uses like jazz, it uses hip hop, it uses funk, it uses like a bit more of an electronic, like all within one song, and he just switches it like effortlessly. And it's just, I just love him. So yeah, so I just want to get that through about John Bellion. But yeah, I think it's... yeah, I think the way that we listen to music is quite interesting as well. Because we were just saying before about because we have so much music available to us just through Spotify, we have pretty much everything, that sometimes it is quite overwhelming to keep up with music all the time. And especially with people dropping albums, like you find a lot more artists, and you it makes it a lot easier to discover new artists, that it's harder to keep up with them a lot. Compared to back in the day where we had a 512 megabyte memory card, and if you wanted to find a new song, you had to delete another song in order for it to fit. So
I definitely think I used to access and listen to music differently when I had my iPod Nano, or had all my music on like my Motorola Razr when I was 12. But I also, back to my favourite word, my kind of monomaniacalism with music.
What does that mean?
Being like obsessed with one thing, okay. Like maniacal, maniac, and mono being one.
Okay.
Gotcha. That I've almost always picked an artist and just been like completely obsessed for a year or two. Like it was Maroon 5 when I was younger, and Taylor Swift and Frank Ocean and John Mayer.
Yeah.
And I'd do the same thing, that I'd have like 5 songs that I'd listen to constantly for a month or two.
Yeah.
Which I think I kind of do now, but it's just peppered with other artists and songs because they are just there and available, and I have the time to access them.
Yeah.
I wonder how much it's changed how we listen to music. I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I think it's a bit of both, because I've discovered so many incredible artists I never would have before. I just found... so Elle sent me a song the other day, and then off the back of that, on Spotify radio, so all this like suggested songs that came off that, I just saved that whole list because it was a really cool... playlist. I've called it that Shoreditch coffee shop playlist, because it's literally that playlist that you hear in every Shoreditch coffee shop that has like mismatching chairs, and so there's someone with like a beard and a moustache in the back, and there's definitely a dog roaming around. It's like that kind of place, but it's just like constantly played. And yeah, that's another one. Like, how do you name your playlists?
Oh, I do not have enough time. I keep chronological playlists and have done for the last 4 years, and I always name them, like, I know you are way more inventive with your playlist names. Mine are always just where I'm at in the year, but I'll always try and incorporate the year into it. So I have like winter this year is spelled W19NTER. Yeah, I know.
Ooh, edgy.
Yeah, I know. I also had another one which was spring for 18 with SPR1 8NG.
8. Oh, I see. Spring 18. Gotcha.
June Tunes 19. June Tunes. Yeah, no, like, Oh, actually, no, this was my favourite. End of Summer, all lowercase, comma, 19. It was when I was going through a bit of a Bon Iver phase, who actually is someone who I'm... A band I'm leaving in 2019, because I tried and failed to get into them, and yeah, now they're dead to me. the weird thing about the Bon Iver latest is either the penultimate or latest album, I can't remember. Their font aesthetic and, like, word aesthetic is what appeals to me more than their music.
Wow.
And there's a lot of commas and stuff, and like different weird spacing, and like their album's called I comma I, and then they have other songs. Oh, it's just so beautiful.
Okay, yes, actually, no, you know what, I like going back to things that we're leaving in 2019. Actually, no, scratch, in addition, to be fair, but like one thing that I do think we need to leave in 2019 is improper grammar.
I disagree. I love improper grammar.
No, improper grammar in like album titles and songs. Like no capital letters.
See,
all
also
capital
20
letters.
To a Million by Bon Iver. This is the epitome of the grammar and font aesthetic that I want in my life. Just like one of their songs is six zeros and then million.
What?
666 T upside down.
You know how fucking difficult it is to search that shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the
like
SEO
in terms of
numbers,
yeah, no, it's really like that's so complicated, because the thing is with, I can't remember, I think it was like there was an artist or there was a someone who was on someone's got like a stage name where they've got like a punctuation at the beginning, which means that alphabetically they always show up first, or yeah, regardless. So I'm like, in terms of SEO, like I'm not gonna go around and search for that, to be honest.
Like, again, I don't really like their music, but, like, 33 and then quote marks, God, end quote mark, and God being in capital letters. I feel like it reflects my atheistic principle. I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, get better music when you go, because it is shit.
Yeah. Okay, that's the thing I want to leave for 2019.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, no, my playlists are very much the...
Sorry, yeah, what are your playlists? Also, side note, if anyone's ever bored, look at Tom's Pinterest, because
I'll be honest with you, like the before it was really just basic, but then I saw like one of my friends from university, I saw their playlist and they were really creative. Like the gym playlist was called I Work Out. And I was like, that is great content. And then, like, ever since then...
Go on.
Yeah,
your basketball.
Ever since then, I've just done it. But then, right? It's just... Because the thing is, like, once you start, you can't stop. But then, so, like, my gym playlist is, like, hype with six Ys. So it's, like, hype.
I think I've seen that.
I've got a Funk My Life Up one, which is funk music. You may not understand this, but there's my South African house music. One is called Make the Circle Bigger, which is in around 2009, 2010, there was a song in South Africa that was quite popular. And like, it still comes out now. It's like when you're dancing, like make the circle bigger. So like some more people can get in. So it's all that. I have another one called Chills, Literal Chills, which is a reference to a Brooklyn Nine-Nine scene where they did the I Want It That Way with the Backstreet Boys. Have you seen that scene?
No, I don't like
what?
Nine-Nine.
No, but even if you haven't seen it, that is one of the greatest scenes I have ever watched in my life. I'll show it to you after this. It's fucking great. I do have my karaoke playlist, which is called Hairbrush Ballads.
Yeah, I like that.
So, and then with Shazam, Shazam obviously linked to Spotify, so if you Shazam a song, it puts it into a Spotify playlist for you. And mine's called Goddamn, Where's My Shazam? And then, what else have I got on here? Yeah, In the Jungle, The Mighty Jungle, but that's just like traditional African music, which retrospectively is not as fitting. But there we go. We've come to the end of our vanity project. And so yeah, like I hope you guys really enjoyed it. What would be really interesting actually is for if you guys could share kind of what your top songs were, what music means to you, your kind of top artists of the year, and kind of people to look out for in 2020 as well, and the new decade, the roaring 20s. But it'd be really interesting because finding new music is definitely one of my passions and a hobby. And if I could get paid for it, then I would. Find a way.
Suggestions always welcome. It's always really nice. Actually, mm-hmm. I really retract that sentence. It is often, sometimes really nice to have music suggestions from friends, but it's also, as I think you'll agree, Tom, a really good way of culling people from your life. They only provide really bad music. It's like, it's not hard, guys, and it's a complete reflection of your own taste in maybe the world around you as well. So yeah,
exactly.
Now I know who I'll want to take into 2020.
Exactly. Not even like adding to what are we leaving in 2020 is like, who are we leaving in 19?
Yeah.
So 2019, sorry. But
yeah. I'm excited for 2020. I think Tame Impala's new album's coming out. There are a couple of others, hopefully, but probably not, new Frank Ocean.
I think Jesse Reyes has an album coming out next year. I'm quite looking forward to. So yeah, there are definitely a lot of artists to look out for, and when you get your 2020 Spotify Wrapped, we'll probably do this again.
Hoping to hit that 65,000th minute, honestly, or maybe this year I'll make it to 120 hours of
120 layer. Yeah, it was just like that last bit,
to be honest.
Thanks
so much for having me on your festive edition. I know that it means so much that I am the special guest for this, else has just been practice
the Christmas episode. Is pretty much it was all building up to this moment.
Welcome, guys.
And lastly, Maddie, is there anything you want to plug, and where can people find you if you want to be found?
If you want to be my 26th follower on Spotify, then follow me, mcrowther24. As you can tell from the last however many minutes this is cut to, I have exceptional taste in music and it will only better your life. I really do, though.
It's currently for free. Just wait until we start charging for this.
Yeah, until it becomes my full-time job. Yeah, you would have got on this early.
Playlist consultation.
Yeah. that should be our next set. We should actually offer that to people. It's like, this is shit. Yeah. This is shit.
Ooh, like, oh, honey, this is just not going to work.
No. You are
like, what are you, 2013? Honey, we've moved.
Yeah.
Could you actually imagine? Oh my God. I'm just imagining these, like on Queer Eye, they have all these different aspects of your life, and then just like a music consultant. And then we're just like, what do you even do?
Blurred lines, Robin Thicke, and just flip. Like, post me too! So coming to a city near you.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Bye, guys.